Good morning, everyone. Morning. Man, what a cool camp. We flew in yesterday, and I actually had just finished speaking at another camp just 2 days ago, and we went directly from there to here, and this, you guys really know how to camp. I mean, this place, that is camping. I like that. That is really, really nice. You've been so friendly to us. Thank you. It's always, you know, sometimes you go somewhere new and you don't know anybody. And here, everybody's been saying hi and welcoming and smiling. And we want to thank you for that. My wife, Kim, is here. Why don't you just stand up so they know who I'm talking about? This is my wife, Kim. 2 days ago was our 27th wedding anniversary. I know, you'll really be clapping for her later on when you get to know me. You're like, oh, Kim, that's, wow, that 27 years. It's funny, when we drove into camp yesterday, the first thing we saw was this miniature golf course out here. And she's in the back seat, and she's like, yes, let me tell you why. For 27 years, every anniversary, we've played a competition game of miniature golf. She has beat me 26 of those years, and I'm really mad. You know what I mean? I said to her, we need to start doing horseshoes or something, because this is ridiculous. And so we haven't played yet, because we've been traveling. We haven't played yet. So if you see us out on the miniature golf course, say a prayer for me, would you? It'd be really cool to get my first victory while out here at camp. So yes, as Johnny has said, we were pastoring for over 23 years. God changed my assignment 6 years ago. Have been traveling full-time ever since then, speaking and doing stand-up comedy. There's a long story with that. It's kind of my dreams and my passions and my calling all being mixed in one. Maybe as the week goes on, I'll give you some more background to that. We have two kids, a 24-year-old son and a 22-year-old daughter. So we're in that stage where, you know, they live at home, but we never see them. You know, we see shoes that don't belong to us and our food goes missing, but we really never see them. But they're home taking care of the pets, so that's good. We're kind of out here just enjoying our time together. And we are just thrilled to be able to experience camp with you. And when they called me, they were just telling me, listen, our theme is being transformed. It's out of Romans 12, verse 1 through 2. They said, you can speak on whatever you want, but that's our theme for this year. And boy, the more I prayed about it, the more God just impressed on me to walk us through those scriptures. Romans is a powerful book. In fact, more than one scholar has said over the years that if you can understand Romans, you can understand the entire Bible. And so to be able to just take a small chunk of Romans together and walk through it during this week, I think will be a lot of fun. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to jump into what I feel God has as a message for us today. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this amazing day that you've made for us. Lord, this is a gift. And so, Father, we pray that as we're out here together as families, Lord, we pray that we would be drawn together closer to you, closer to one another, and that, God, your presence would be here in just a real significant way. And, Lord, we pray that this week would be pivotal for our families. We pray that you would be glorified in all that we do and say. And, God, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn to chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, or if you have it memorized, just, you know, go to Romans 12 in your head. I have a question, though. First of all, I would like to know, how many of you have been coming here more than 5 years? More than 5 years. Oh, wow, my goodness. Okay, how many of you more than 10 years or longer? Man. Okay, 15 years or longer? Some of you are like, I might as well just leave this up. 20 years or longer? 25 years or longer? By the way, I don't have any prizes, so I just... 30 years? 35? Be proud. Be proud. I like... 35... Okay, 40? 40? Are you part of the same families? Or no? 45? Ooh, this is like an auction. 45, gonna be hit him at 745. 50, I don't, is this a, this been around 50 years, this campsite? 50 years? From the beginning? And I don't mean of creation, I just mean of, wow, 50, that is amazing. It, well, I was gonna say welcome, it's my first time, but welcome. Again, and again. Who here, this is your first time ever, first time? Welcome, it's my first time too, welcome, this is great. This is great. Man, 50 years. Wow. That is just amazing. Well, I hope I do it right, you know? Okay. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 this entire week. And that means that every time we gather together, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And then I'll just focus on a portion of it. But let's read verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now let's go back up to verse 1. It says, therefore. Maybe you've heard a speaker before say, when it says therefore, you need to look at it and see what it's there for, all right? What is he referring to? Well, he's obviously just come off of chapter 11, but we know that when the Bible was written, it was not originally written in chapters and verses, right? So this is one entire letter. So basically what the Apostle Paul is saying here is, therefore, in light of every single thing I've been saying to in this letter to you, about God's grace, about his love, about Jesus Christ, about forgiveness, about all these things, how unsearchable his wisdom is, how great he is, all these amazing things. In light of all that, now do this. And see, all the way up to this point, the book of Romans has been very deep theologically, like Paul is getting to the roots and the nitty-gritty of what Scripture is all about, what the gospel is all about. And all of a sudden, he gets to chapter 12, and he starts taking that theology, and he starts making it very practical. How are we going to live this out? Because don't you know, you can have a lot of great knowledge and a lot of theology built up in you, but if you're not living it out, what's the use, right? So when we come together today, and this is what I love about coming together as families, a lot of times when we hear teaching on Scripture, we might kind of think of it in light of the church or our neighbors or our community, and how am I going to live this out, and what does this mean for me in the church? In fact, later on in chapter 12, Paul goes on to the talking about the body of Christ and how we're one and we each have our own gifts and so forth. But tonight, or this week, I want you to think of it in this way. How can I live this out in my family? How can I live this toward my spouse? How can I be this example to my kids? When we're gathered together, how do I live out Scripture in such a way that it's got the impact that God had intended for it? So he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. Can you see God's mercy? Is it in view? In view of God's mercy, I want to talk about this for a second. What is mercy? Well, mercy is kindness and compassion. In fact, it's often they use the word compassion. It's compassion shown to someone who does not deserve it. Now, when our son was 5 years old, it was around Christmas time. It was late December, and my wife had sent us to the grocery store to get something. And so my son and I, we get to the grocery store, And we parked the car, and I had that speech with him. And you know what the speech is? This one. I'm not buying you candy. Don't ask for candy. Don't ask for snacks. Can we get this clear? Now, are you listening to me? Look me in the eyes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When we go into this store, we are simply going to get what Mom sent us for. We are not going for cereal. We are not going for candy. We are not going for these things. Do not even ask. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Any of you ever had that speech? Okay. And you know how it ends up. We get to the store. We walk in. The little doors open on their own, and we are not even all the way in the entrance. And my son, can I have that? You know, and I looked at him, and I was like, how does your memory work? I mean, what did we just talk about? We are not here to get candy. Now, don't ask again. Every single row we went down, can I have that? Can I do? And I was getting frustrated. Now, listen, I have tried as a dad. I've tried to be a good dad. I think I've done okay, but I've made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, they push us, right? And I was getting angry. I was just frustrated. And we get up to the counter to pay, and of course some genius came up with the idea of putting all the candy at the low section so your five-year-old, that's all they see. Dad, can I have candy? And I just got angry. And I bent down to him. I said, you know what? I told you over and over, you are not getting candy. Now, even if you were good, you wouldn't get any candy right now. You just don't deserve it. Now, just stop it. And then I look up and I'm smiling. You know, as parents do. And we were standing there, and they're doing my little checkout thing, and my son's depressed, and he puts his head down. He's got this little, he was a towhead, blonde hair, short little five-year-old, and he just starts walking like this. He's going to walk out of the thing. The sweet grandma lady coming out of a different checkout thing with her cart, walking like this. She cannot see my son because he is so small. My son cannot see her because he is so small, and he's depressed. And so he's walking like this. She's coming fairly swiftly with the cart, and I'm going to pay, and I look over, and I see what's about to happen. And have you ever tried to do something, but it seemed like it was slow motion because you were in a dream? So I'm like, no. And I'm trying to dive to make sure this doesn't happen. I'm too late. He steps out. Bam! She hits him with the cart right in the head. He falls down. I'm like, oh, no. And I get down, and she's going, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And this poor old woman, she just was devastated that she did this. I'm so sorry. And my son's down there, and he's rubbing his head, and I grab him. I said, are you okay? And he's like, oh, my head hurts. Well, the manager of the store happened to see this. And he comes running over, and he gets down on one knee, and he holds my son, and he goes, son, are you okay? And my boy's going, And the manager looks around, and he goes, hold on one second. He gets up. He grabs the largest candy cane thing. This thing, you could use it to walk with. It was that big. And it was filled with every kind of chocolate you've ever seen in your life. And he leans down with this huge cane, and he says to my son, will this help? And this is what my son does. He holds it, and he looks up at me and goes, and we got out in that car, and, you know, yeah, I was not happy he got hurt, of course. But I had to deal with resentment on the drive home, you know? And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and he's like, I said, boy, you don't deserve that, man. And isn't that God's mercy, though? We don't deserve his mercy, but we get his mercy, don't we? God is full of mercy. The Bible says it this way. It says he is rich in mercy. He's full of mercy. He gives mercy. In fact, it's in Lamentations. Maybe this will be familiar to you. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God has compassion on you. He's got compassion on me. And what Paul is saying when he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, what he's saying is, therefore, in light of God's mercy, therefore, because of God's mercy, therefore, because of God's great mercy on your life, now let's do this. You see, he's talked about how merciful God is leading all up to this, and he's given examples of his great mercy. And the culminating point is, of course, when he sends his son Jesus to this earth. And it was on the cross where mercy was really defined. It was on the cross where where we have justice in love colliding in mercy is the result. You see, I often would say in a picture, if you could picture a cross, you could say that one beam could have the word justice on it because sin had to be paid. And the other beam could say love because God loved you. And they intersected on the cross, and that's where we find mercy. He says, in view of God's mercy, let's not live this out because we're afraid. Let's not live this out because of any other reason, any other motive, other than God has had mercy on us, and let's walk out his mercy. Let's live in his mercy. Let's live in that compassion. And yet it's amazing to me how many of us believers, instead of living our life in light of God's mercy, we make light of God's mercy. And we forget about his mercy. And when if you want to kind of take a play on words, and God and Paul says, in view of God's mercy, my question to you today is this: can you view God's mercy? Do you see God's mercy from where you're sitting? Can you see God's mercy from where you're standing? Because if you don't have an understanding and a clear view of God's mercy, how are you ever going to live it out? You see, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you have not already received. And if you have not truly received God's mercy, how can you live that out? You see, so many of us spend our time focusing on the wrong things. We focus on, instead of focusing on God's mercy shown to us, we focus on offenses people have done to us. And we can't view his mercy. Perspective is a super important thing in our life and in our families. You have to have a clear perspective, and everything really needs to be done in view of God's mercy. It's the backdrop. It's the canvas on which your life needs to be built, is God's mercy. But are we focusing on the wrong things? I remember I went jogging. Now, when I say that to people at home that know me, they never get past that part. They're always like, "You what? You jog?" I went walking fast at this track. And there's a ball field, there's a school near our house, and they have a track. And I went there one day, and I come over the top of the stairs, and I see the back of a dog. And it's a huge dog, and I could recognize the kind of dog. It was a pit bull terrier. Now, you might be here, and you own pit bulls, and you might raise pit bulls, and you love them, and you think they're the most cuddly, gentle dogs on the earth. I was severely attacked by a pit bull when I was 6 years old and put in the hospital. And from that time, it's just been a little hard to get close to them. You know what I mean? It just they don't give me the fuzzies. You know what I mean? And so I came over the stairs, and I see the back of this pit bull, and his owners are like way out the field playing Frisbee. And I'm thinking, he could kill me before they even hear about it. You know what I mean? It was one of those. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, don't turn around. Don't. And I got my focus on this pit bull. And I'm stepping over here, and pretty soon he hears me, and he turns around. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, dear Lord. And he's looking at me, and he stands up, and he walks toward me, and his owner's like, hey, Bubba, or whatever his name is, you know, killer, whatever they call them. And I didn't notice at first, but he was chained to this deal, so he couldn't get to me if I moved over here. But he's looking at me, and I'm like, good, good doggy, good puppy. Good. And I'm walking over here, and all of a sudden, I bump into something, and I think it's the railing. And I look down, and it's the largest Rottweiler I've ever seen in my life. And when I say bump into him, I literally mean his face is pressed against my shorts, and his slobber has now caused wetness. I think that's what the wetness was. But I'm looking down at him going, oh, hi, you know, and all of a sudden I have this really high voice, like, how are you, good dog? I had focused so much on that pit bull that I didn't see the Rottweiler. You know what happens in life? We focus so much on the wrong thing, we bump into a lot of wrong things along the way. And instead of focusing on God's mercy and the mercy he's had in your life, we focus on things like what other people have done to us, and we're looking over here, and we're getting off track because we're looking at the wrong thing. But when we look at God's mercy and we look at God himself and his compassions, we will stay on the right path, you see. And it's amazing to me the power that the perspective of God's mercy can have on our life. But what is hard is when people don't have a view of his mercy anymore because of something that happened in the past or because of how they view God. Maybe they view him differently than Scripture really says or because of some other reason. And today, I just want you to understand this. I want you to start your week off together by saying, you know what? Let's get a clear view of God and his mercy. Because if I have a clear view of his mercy, I'll be able to walk a path that I'm going to be safe and secure on. You see, we live in Washington. We live in a suburb of Seattle. And in the summertime, Mount Rainier, I don't know if you've ever heard of Mount Rainier. It's a very large, we got a lot of mountains around there. But Mount Rainier is like the biggie. And it literally sometimes looks like you could just reach out and lick it, like it's a pop, like a ice cream cone. It's huge. And in the summertime, it's amazing. Well, we have people that come and visit us, and they're like, we want to see the mountain. And then, of course, Washington has a reputation of being rainy and foggy, and they can't see the mountain. And then we spend the entire time visiting saying, no, really, it's really there. It really, you just, you can't see it right now. And I know that perhaps some of you have come to this week of camp and you feel like you can't see God's mercy because you've got this cloud of circumstances in your way, and it's really frustrating. It's caused you kind of to be like my son and just walk with your head held low. But I want you to know this, that just like my son got something he doesn't deserve, we don't deserve his mercy either, and it's there. He gives it to us. And it's his mercy that inspires us and guides us and leads us and gives us strength to live out the rest of these scriptures that we're going to talk about. You see, we have to understand his mercy because you are saved by his mercy. Let me just read to you a few scriptures here, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then on in chapter 2, verse 10, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And when we understand what we have from God, now we need to go and do likewise. We need to be merciful. What you have received, you know. Do you realize that God doesn't give you anything just for you to hold on to? Everything he gives you, all the gifts he gives you so that you can bless those next to you. And so he has given you mercy, and he expects you now to have mercy. He's given you forgiveness, you forgive. He's given you love, you now love. He's given you mercy, you now pass that on. But you have to have a correct view of it. I remember when my son, you know, I know some people don't believe in spanking. We spanked our kids, but put it this way. Our daughter, her entire life, I think had 3 spankings. I think her entire life. My son had 3 an hour. I mean, it was just, he was different. He worked it. And spanking was always our last resort. It was always the last resort. But boy, he had a lot of resorts that we had to deal with. I mean, it was just. And I remember one time, I had told him, I'm going to give you, as many spankings as you are old. He was 2 at the time. If you do something, if you do this, okay. So he did this bad thing, and we went in his room, and all of a sudden, I just had this sense in my spirit, this is a teaching moment. And it was so funny, because we got in his room, and he goes like this. And he gets in position. You know, I taught him kind of the police, you know. Anyhow, hoping he never has to use that in the future. But he's waiting for me. I just sat on his bed, and I remember him looking over and going, well, and I said, come here, sit on my lap. He sits on my lap. I said, I want to teach you something. God, I said, do you deserve spankings? Yes. I'm not going to give you those spankings. Why not? Because I want to teach you something greater than a spanking. I want to teach you about the mercy of God. And we went into this short little teaching, and I don't know how well it stuck with him or whatever, but I remember in the moment it seemed like a very great thing. And, you know, there are times that God wants to pour something in you that you pour into your kids and you pour into those around you, and looking for those teaching moments in light of his mercy. It's funny how we will receive something, but we have a hard time giving out. I'm going to tell you one last story here, and it's not going to make me look very good, but I feel like if we can be transparent here with each other, we'll just have a better time. I'll just let you know about me, and we'll go on. We were watching the news, and you ever yell at your TV? You ever yell something that was said, or a news report, or sports, or what, you yell at it? There was a story, this is a couple years ago, there was a story about a young man, and they got this on surveillance camera, and they showed it on the news, a young man who attacked and beat up in New York, I think she was 93 years old, beat up a woman, stole her purse, and she only had $6 in it. And I got furious watching the news, and I call it righteous indignation, that's what I call it. And this is, and they said, but he has been caught and he's going to prison. This is what I said. Good. I hope he gets beat up in prison. And Kim turns to me and she says, I hope he comes to know Jesus in prison. That's just not fair. You know what I mean? So I didn't know how to respond, but I said, well, me too, but after he gets beat up. You know what I mean? Like, let's do it in the right order. But isn't that the way it is? We receive something from God, but we don't want to pass it on. Here's what I want to say. Make sure you're standing today where you have a view of his mercy. Make sure you're walking through life where you're not letting circumstances and the fog in your life obstruct your view of mercy. Because how you view mercy will determine how you live out his mercy. And God has given you great mercy. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for your mercy today. And I pray that today, these families, oldest to youngest, youngest to oldest, would experience your mercy, would have a view of your mercy that is unobstructable. That God, that as they live out what we're going to teach this week, as we live out our great salvation, as we live out your living word, I pray it would be in view in light of your mercy. I pray we would not make light of your mercy, but we'd live our life in light of your mercy. Bless this camp. Bless everyone here. Let us just have a great day in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Great being with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brett.
Great.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to share.